Hello, I'm Kathy Duplantis, and you know you are designed for glorious living, and you're going to learn a lot about that today on today's program. It's always such a joy for me to welcome you into Studio C, and today it's a very special program. I have my dear friend Sue Kightley with me, and also Chrissy's on the set.
I'm on the couch this time.
On the couch.
And I love it.
We like changing things up a bit.
I do, and it's comfortable. I'm liking it.
Isn't it great? I've been on the couch before.
It's nice.
Really nice.
And we're so excited to have you here, Pastor
Sue. I'm glad to be here.
How great it is to have you.
Let me give her a proper introduction so that you just know a little bit more about Sue. Pastor Sue traveled all the way from Brampton, Ontario, Canada, in order to be with us at our past Glorious Conference, which just happened this few weekends ago. And she's been in the ministry for over 35 years, and she's a pastor of Hope City Church in Brampton. Sue is here with us today to share her testimony of how the Lord met her as a child and to celebrate all of the glorious things that the Lord has done in her life. I just love your testimony. That's why I wanted you to be here. You know, we had a great time at the conference, and then you stayed over a day to tape it, and we're airing this a little later than that. But it's wonderful that you had an opportunity to come. But I remember when I first met you, Sue, and it was so wonderful. And you asked me to go minister one of your women's conferences.
Yes.
And at that, when I went there, we had a nice lunch or dinner or whatever it was before the meeting, and you were able to tell me your testimony. And I just was captivated by all that God had done as for you as a child, for your whole family.
For the whole family.
Tell us about
it. 'Cause God loves
it.
Families.
Oh, yes.
And every person is so vital and important. And so often we almost set children aside, like we'll wait till they grow up. But the reality of it is oftentimes we've waited too long and we've missed the window of opportunity for them to experience God at a very young age. So we went to a very traditional church, and we kind of thought God showed up on Sunday and the rest of the week we were on our own. And so we had gone to another church because there was an author that was speaking. It was a charismatic church. We didn't know what that was.
And that was in the next town or something,
It was. It was about a half an hour drive. And I remember we were shocked because we saw guitars and electric pianos and drums, and we thought, these people are all going to hell.
Yeah. We go to a rock concert, right?
Yes. We were familiar with the organ and, you know, the quick service, and you're out. So this was a shock. And then people came up and hugged you. We didn't know these people. And you know, they don't even know the 3-inch rule here.
You're in my bubble, right?
Yes. And then they spoke this other language, which we assume was French because we're in Canada. And so we thought they should advertise that they speak French from time to time. I mean, just off they would
go. How old were you, Susan?
I was only 11 years old.
Okay.
And so I remember it all being very unfamiliar, but yet the message was, for the first time in my life, I understood what they were saying about God. And so when we drove home that night, we were all talking in the car, and you know, my dad said, "What did you girls think? I have two sisters that were with me and my mom." And we said, "That's a crazy church." That is a crazy church. And my dad goes, "It is a crazy church." And but we said, "But we understood what they were saying." And so my dad goes, "Well, we won't go again. It was just because of the speaker. You know, it was a crazy church." But next Sunday, my dad says, "You want to go back to that church?"
Wow.
And we said, "The crazy church? I thought we were going back to the crazy church." And he says, "Maybe they were only crazy because of the guest speaker. Maybe they're not crazy every week."
Okay.
It was a curious thing, too. Must
have
been.
Because when the power of the Lord starts drawing you.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You don't even understand. You're right. And so you're doing things that your head has already told you you're not going to do. But, you know, somehow God pulls and leads you. And so we found ourselves back at this church. And, you know, same thing happened. But we understood the message. Came home, said, "We're never going to go there again until the next Sunday." So as you can imagine, the Word of God became so alive. And all of a sudden, we understood that, you know, just knowing about God wasn't enough. A lot of people know about God, but they do not have a relationship with Him. We needed to have a relationship with Him.
I love that.
And be able, you know, we began to understand who God was. We would hear people say, "When God talks to me," and we think, "Oh, these people are crazy. They think God talks to them." But we began to understand that a relationship with Jesus meant a personal connection.
That's right.
And that was incredible. And so, and then we realized the language they were speaking was not French. It was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so my parents, I remember, you know, they had gone up to be prayed for on a Sunday night that we were not there. Mm-hmm. And this particular Sunday night, my dad put his arms around his three girls and brought us up to the front. And we said, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he said, "I just feel we cannot leave until you all receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Mm-hmm. And we said, "It's okay. We're good." And he says, "No, you're not." And so we came up and we stood in our birth order, which was not intentional. But when they laid hands on my sister and they told her to speak, well, the only language she knew a little of was French. So she began to speak in French. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, this language comes out of her in such
heavenly
a strength.
Language.
Oh, and you know, as siblings, you know your siblings. You know
of
when
course.
They fake it and
of
when
course.
They don't.
Exactly.
She was not faking it. Now, I looked up at her and I thought, she is having an experience with God. I knew it. And so then it was going to be my turn next. So I thought, okay. So when they told me to speak, I didn't know any French. So I said nothing. And the same happened to my younger sister. So on the way to the car, I remember, you know, thinking, oh, this is going to be, I'm not going to be able to live with her because she's going to let me know I've got something that you don't. And so,
this is great.
I grabbed a pillow and I was talking to the Lord. I said, "Lord, why didn't I receive it?" All of a sudden I started to speak in my heavenly language. And
Jesus.
I went, I got it. Mm-hmm. My younger sister said, "What did you do?" I said, "You grabbed the pillow. You press it to your face." And this is what you say, because I love this about God. He just honors faith.
Yes,
and
that's
that was
right.
just my faith. So that's what she did. She grabbed the pillow. She said exactly what I said and began to speak in other tongues.
It was still all over you guys.
It was amazing. And then, of course, that was the most exciting thing that's ever happened in my 11 years. So my dad said, "Girls, you can't just go and tell everyone because not everyone's going to appreciate the experience." And we said, okay. And he goes, "You don't have to be ashamed of it, but you have to understand, you know, this is something not everybody's going to understand." Well, we're 11. Best thing that's ever happened.
Yes.
My sister's 13. So we're going through the neighborhood and we meet up with a friend and they said, "What are you doing?" And we said, "We're just walking." And they're like, "What's new?" And we're like, "So much, but we can't tell you." And they're like, "You can't tell us." And I'm like, "No, we can't tell you, but it's so great. We wish you could." Then they said, "Oh, come on, we're your best friend. You gotta be able to tell us." So I'm like, all right. And so we began to share about how we met Jesus. And not just the Jesus that you think about, but the Jesus that becomes real to your life.
Then
I said, when you meet this Jesus, there's gifts. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a new language that communicates to him. And it's so amazing. And you don't think it. It comes from deep within. It's amazing. And so they said, well,
don't you love this?
Can we have this? And see, no one told us that they couldn't. So we just thought, well, sure. I said, well, do you want Jesus? And they're like, yeah. So I just prayed with them, just like I heard others being prayed for. And then we just laid hands on them and they began to speak, you know, in a language. And so then we got to the next one. Same thing happened. By the end of the afternoon, everyone in our neighborhood was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Oh, come on, Jesus.
And we came home for dinner and my dad said, "What you girls do today?" And we said, "Oh, we got everybody saved and filled with the Holy Ghost." And he did this chuckle like, "Girls, that's not funny." And we're like, "Dad, that's exactly what happened." Mm-hmm. And he said, did we do something wrong? And he goes, no, I just need to make a call. And he made an emergency call to our pastor saying, "My girls have just gone out into the neighborhood. If we can get them to call all these kids back next Saturday, would you send somebody there to teach
from
them?
From that church 30 minutes
yes.
away.
Yes. Wow.
And
this
they
is awesome.
Did. They sent someone and we collected all the people and they began to teach us from the Bible what they had received. And we would learn about who Jesus was. He was a healing God. And so when someone had an issue, like we had a girl, you know, we would always join hands to pray and she had a big wart. Well, I was standing beside her. I didn't want to hold her hand with a big wart. And so, but we had just heard a message on healing. And so we said, we can pray. We'll pray for you. And of course, the next morning she calls, her wart fell off.
Praise God.
And we just, anything that we were taught, because no one taught us not to believe. Mm-hmm. We just locked our faith in and supernaturally began to experience the Lord. And so from that time on, every sleepover party I had, the first question that my dad would ask me is, how many saved? How many filled with the Holy Ghost?
This is amazing.
I never went to a sleepover that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I thought that was normal. Like, I thought we were normal. I found out later we weren't. But I thought that was normal.
Yeah.
And that just became, you know, as we grew up in the things of God, that it just became so incredible to experience the Lord. I experienced too much of the Lord to ever say that he doesn't exist.
That's so good.
Yeah, I could not make my bed in hell. I was ruined from hell because I experienced too much of God. And I knew if he was real, then everything he said is
real too. Well, it's obvious, even from a young child, God had a great call on your life. Mm. And you've been walking that out ever since. And I remember that you told me you went to Bible school, and then you were at a church. And tell us how you came into full-time ministry.
This is wonderful.
This was quite a shock. And, you know, I love that God doesn't tell us everything that's going to happen to us, because we would not vote yes. And so I had a prophetic word when I was 18 that I would be in the ministry. But I lived with me, and I saw so many shortcomings, and oftentimes Monday would hit and I've already blown Sunday sermon. So I would think,
I'm probably the worst
Christian in this church. They just don't know it. I can't even always go 2 days without blowing the sermon. So I said, okay, Lord, I can be called, but I figured it would be 15 years down the road, because I knew what God had to do in order, in my mind, to make me like usable. And so when I graduated, I got an invite to be an assistant pastor, which I had no desire to be. But I thought, oh, maybe this is how God's gonna train and develop me for that day that, you know, I will be in ministry. So this is good. I'll just serve the person that is called. And that only happened for about a couple years. And he decided to resign quite suddenly on a Sunday night. And I was, you know, thrust into a place and a position of pastoring. And I thought it would be just till they found someone. Mm-hmm. And then they came and said, you know, you're going to have to stay in this, you know, position. And I thought, you know, they have gone through a lot. You know, anytime that a church loses a pastor or has an uproar, you know, it's hard on everyone. And I thought, I don't have the heart to tell them I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to have to do this until the real person, you know, comes on the scene. Mm-hmm. And so I just began to think, okay, you know, Lord, when we hit 200, then the real pastor is going to come and I'm going to pass this congregation over and then I can do what I'm supposed to be doing. And I remember we hit 202, 205, 207, and we had a situation in the church that just began to shift and shake things. And I remember asking the Lord, what is going on? And the Lord said to me, who told you to pastor until 200? I said, I thought that was a really good number. I thought that was a really
good
plan.
To me, yeah.
And he said, but who told you? You never want God to ask you that question because he already knows the answer.
Yes.
And I said, I told me. And he said, everything that you've built by your own hand, I'm going to allow fall. And everything that I've established by my hand is going to stand. And don't ever do this again. And I just watched God do something in the midst of that. And from that point on, I took ownership of the mantle. I am the pastor. Mm-hmm. I will be here until the day that God removes me. And if that day never comes, I'm going to enjoy loving his people.
Amen.
Oh, that was
and how
awesome.
Many years was that?
35 years ago. Yeah.
Think about it. 35 years.
I was very,
God knew
very
what
young.
He was doing. And you've traveled the world. I mean, you've ministered outside of that. I remember you telling me about how you were a chaplain and with the police.
Yes.
And that you would, oh, I love that when you told me those stories. I mean, she has so many good stories.
I love it. I'm just so intrigued by what you're sharing, too, because you exude this joy, Pastor Sue. Every time I see you, every conference, you know, this was the first time I really got to talk to you, but you do. You exude that joy of the Lord, and you can tell you love his people.
I do.
It's a calling.
Yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Well, you can't help loving God without loving his people. And that's always our disconnect. When we stop, you know, connecting with the love of God, we'll find ourselves irritated by people. We'll find ourselves not being fulfilled, not enjoying that moment. But the more we fall in love with Jesus, the more we fall in love with his people. It's the two cannot be separate.
Jesse has often said, a lot of people love crowds, but they don't love people.
They don't love people.
And you can't have that. You can't do anything significant or lasting for the Lord without loving his people. You know, that's why he placed you in that position, because he knew that you would love them.
That's right.
Care for them, nurture them. That's what a shepherd does. And you could see you got the smell of sheep on you.
Yeah.
And that's a good fragrance. That's better than Chanel number 5.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is what I wear all the time. My husband gave me my first bottle of Chanel number 5 when we were just dating. My first gift he gave to me was that.
Wow.
Way back, I think it was 57
years
ago.
He had good taste back then.
I think he had good advice.
Well, he still has good taste.
Yeah, he sure does.
And so, but anyway, the fragrance that we exude should glorify God.
Yeah.
We should, the smell of people, the smell of his love and kindness. And that's a heavenly smell, you know?
It is so true.
So good. Yeah.
I love that. In fact, they recognize that on you, and even when they don't know the Lord, because I remember when you... I want you to share the stories about your police work, if you don't mind.
Yes.
That blessed me too so much.
The Lord had me praying for our police for 5 years. And I kept saying, "What do you want me to do something? Do you want me to host something?" But I didn't get any clear direction. And my assistant was chuckling, and I went by her office, and I said, "What is funny?" She goes, "You've just got an invite to be a police chaplain. As if you have time to be a police chaplain." And so she was throwing it in the garbage, and I said, "Retrieve that. I've been praying for the police for 5 years. This might be why I've been praying for them." And so she goes, "Well, they want you to show up for an interview. Are you going to show up?" I said, "Yes, phone them and tell them I'm going to show up." And so I show up not knowing what I'm showing up to. Only that I've been praying.
Yes.
If I hadn't been praying those 5 years, I would have missed that opportunity.
Uh-huh.
So see, even sometimes we're praying for something, we don't have the clarity of what is coming, but yet God is already preparing us to recognize.
Right.
And so they interviewed me. They said, "Okay, you have the position." And I said, "Well, what is the position? What am I going to be doing?" And they're like, "We'll tell you that later." And so they phoned me and told me to show up to this class. And I went into this class, and it's all about knives and how you protect yourselves about knives. And I put my hand up and I said, "Is this the class for the volunteer police chaplain?" And they're like, yeah, "You were supposed to be here." And I'm like, "Okay." And so went to that class. And then the next class, they said, "Come with your running shoes, your sweat pants." And so I went in this gym, and they're like, "Okay, one of you, you're gonna be in teams, and one of you is gonna hold this pad, the other one is gonna take this person down." I'm like, "Is this the room for the volunteer police job?" And they're like, yeah, "You're to be here." And I'm like, "You're kidding." So I was with another minister, and he said, "Don't worry, Sue, I'm not going to take you down." And I said, "Well, you better be prepared, because I'm taking you down." And he said, "You're going to take me down?" I'm like, "I'm taking you down, because whatever they tell me, I'm going to be prepared." And then they put us on the shooting range, and they said, "Okay, worst case scenario." And I said, "Oh, my goodness, you're giving us guns?" They said, "No, but... worst case scenario, if something happens, we need you to retrieve the gun from the police officer, pull the body behind the police car, and be able to fire back and protect yourselves." So I'm like, "Okay." So they said, "We're going to teach you how to use this gun." Okay, get this. Who was the best shot of all the police chaplains? Thank you, ladies.
Right here.
You know, I went over to the gun range with Jesse. I was better than him, too. Oh. I have a concealed permit, and I remember, I'm really good.
Oh, see that? I tell you.
I fired a gun prop on a stage one time. It was a prop.
It's not the same.
I know.
Not the same. Okay, not even close.
Make you appointment can have a list at the gun range. We are getting this done.
That's
so great. It's empowering, too.
It's empowering.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it was a while before I learned what I was supposed to do. But in all these things, I would just be my little hand up saying, are you sure I'm supposed to be here? But you know what? It's been incredible. These men and women that I have been able to ride along with are just amazing individuals.
I remember you told me the story how when you would go with the police when they would do the arrests or they'd be on patrol or whatever. And there was one time you mentioned how there was the policemen were addressing the criminal or the person they were arresting, and they would not look at the police. They'd look beyond them to you who was behind them.
Yes.
That was so powerful because they could see there was something in you. God was drawing them. It's God positioned you at that place to minister.
Isn't it incredible? Because the conversation that I was having with that police officer was our gifts and callings. And so I was, you know, saying to him, well, not everybody runs into trouble. That's a gift that God is, you know, giving you. Yeah. And so when, you know, he was quite agitated by the end of that session, and he goes, what is it? Everything? They're trying to talk to you. And they were telling the person, she's not talking to you. Wow. I'm talking to you. Don't be talking to her. And so he says, what is going on? And I said, just like, you know, your position for people that will come and ask for your help, even when you're not dressed in your uniform. He goes, that happens all the time. I said, yeah, there's something on you that people recognize. I said, well, I'm a pastor, and there's something on me that wants people to say, you're safe to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And so it pulled, he goes, oh, I get that. Mm-hmm. I get, so yeah, we've
I love that story.
Many interesting stories in the police cars, and but incredible people that I've had the opportunity to meet and ride along with, and yeah, I have my bulletproof vest and all my little getup, and it's very unattractive, but...
No, I'm sure you look awesome in that.
Oh, bless your heart.
You're tough. Like, to me, that is just so admiring, too, that you were so... You said, get that out of the trash, when she wanted to throw it away, saying, I'm too busy, she's too busy, she can't possibly. But the Lord was preparing you to step into that yes, and how many opportunities you've had to minister to people and love them.
Yes.
And even just for yourself to be able to do that and step into those places. It's so cool. These are some great stories, Pastor Sue. I'm loving it. I know people are loving it, too.
Well, it's been amazing. I can't imagine. Your memory, you meet thousands of people, and you recall such incredible details.
There's not everyone that is a Susan Kite.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I love your stories. It's so powerful to realize that how God had prepared you as a young child and all these things he's done. And I know Jesse and I started going to your church years ago.
Yes.
I don't know how long. He often says when he thinks of Canada, he thinks of Sue.
Oh, and I love it.
So
you were just so powerful. And you know, just your love for God, love for people. And it's always a powerful... I've been with him several times when he's been there, but not every time.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I couldn't go, but it's always wonderful. And he's coming soon, isn't he?
He is. He'll probably be back in September. I have to get the exact date, but we're
always... We'll put that on the screen and let you know when he's coming.
It will be great.
Yeah, it's so good. And I love all that God's done in your life, and there's a lot more stories. In fact, I want you to stay for another program. We're just running out of time, but we just have... I want to... people to hear your heart and know more about you because you're just so unforgettable.
Oh, you really are.
You are, and you say you so always lift us up. And I know that you do that for your congregation, and I know there's been some shifts and some changes in your congregation, and it's so important to see how God, what God does and adjusts things and brings, because he has a plan to bring it to a higher level.
Yes, he does.
Yes, so yes he
does. I love it. And you know, I was so glad that you were being able to be with us for our glorious conference when you came.
So fun.
It's so powerful when you come. And I know that you've often even spoke at the church in the past. You did one of our women's meetings in the congregation for Covenant Church. And so we just loved it when you came. It was a Bloom meeting or whatever we called it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have amazing women. And the women that came on the glorious conference.
Oh, so good.
You know, they so connected with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And they so responded to the power of God.
And that's important.
Oh, I mean, we had a long ministry opportunity because there were so many women continuing to step in.
Yes.
And they did not want to go without being prayed for. Mm-hmm. But they locked their faith into that. So, so many miracles that we heard of. But I know there's so many more that you're going to hear throughout the year because they were so hungry. And you know, what people don't always know is a lot of women, you know, come in and they don't have that opportunity. No one stands with them for faith.
That's right.
No one believes for the miraculous. And so they hear this and it's like you become a lifeline mm-hmm. to them. And if they, you know, it's like the woman with the issue of blood, if I can just get to it,
yes.
if I can come Ooh. To Glorious, I'm going to find someone that's going to agree for the miracle that I need in my life
Amen.
And are going to put me in an atmosphere where the power of God is moving. Mm-hmm. And they responded to that so
they
incredibly.
Sure did.
Long even before the conference, the Lord let me know in my heart that I would be laying hands on people, that there would be a time of impartation. And we sort of promoted that just a little bit. But the level of it was even beyond what yeah. I was expecting. There was a saturation level, a presence that was there that was tangible.
Yeah. It really
was. And it was so powerful. In fact, your mother, who lives with you,
yes.
Was watching, and she told you that it was an hour. I have to go back and look at that. Was
yeah.
it really a full
it
hour?
Was. That's what she said.
It was like line after line. And just the ladies kept coming to the front. And I stayed for a longer moment on a few, but mostly it was just laying hands on.
Yeah.
They were falling under the power of God.
It was
miracles
so
were happening.
Wonderful.
You could see when they got up, their lives were changed.
Changed. They were staggering. Mm-hmm. Some of them could not return back to their seat. There was so much of the power of God.
The presence was so heavy and wonderful.
Oh,
yes, ma'am. And people
yeah.
were watching all over the world. And what was your mother? How beautiful is that? I have a testimony I want to share before
yes.
we close. This is from the Glorious Conference. Someone watching, it says, awesome Glorious Conference. Thank you for opening your heart and doors to this fabulous event. Loves and hugs to you all. You are a precious treasure from God, Pastor Kathy.
Oh.
And that's so true, Pastor
it
Kathy.
Is.
Thank
yes.
you for stepping in yeah. your yes in this and taking this event to a whole new level. 7-star experience.
Yes.
It was absolutely wonderful. The ladies knew that they were treasured
yeah.
and they knew that God had a plan and a purpose to meet them here or to watch online. They knew to expect the glorious things of God, and they received it. It was wonderful.
Amen.
It was.
I'm just
wonderful.
Still in awe of all that God has done. And I believe if you watch and you were part of that conference, you were impacted. We want to hear about
yes.
it. In fact, there's still time. We're making plans already for the next one.
We are. We're getting things done.
Yeah,
we don't waste any time
no.
here, Jamie. We're on
it. If you missed that one, to come to a live experience is so important, but I know that many people were blessed just watching
yeah.
online. We have people that are commenting
oh,
on
it. So many.
Watching from many nations and,
yes.
and states. But next year, just so you know the dates, we like to put it up so you can plan ahead and be here. The dates are March the 6th and the 7th, 2026. It's Friday, 7 p.m., Saturday at 9 a.m. And then again, still time for you to make a conference this year at Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
Yep.
Our visionary conference
is
July the 10th and 11th. That's a Thursday night at 7 p.m. and a Friday at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. There's still a lot of time for you to get over here, get in the place. There's a tangible anointing that's
yes.
in the house.
It's so
you're
going
to leave changed.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And it's all made possible by our beautiful partners who help us. And so, partners, thank you for all that you do to help us to reach people and change lives one soul at a time. We've been doing this for 49 years now, and we love, and we're expecting God to do even more things in the
yeah.
years ahead. We're right on the forefront, right on the front lines of what God is doing, and you can be a part of that when you're a partner, so thank you. If you're not a partner, you can do that. You can go to jdm.org, PayPal, text to give, select giving on the JDM app, or you can mail in your donation, and just know that we'll be praying with you and agreeing with you for your harvest.
Oh, that's so
good.
Yes,
so good.
How fun was this?
Susan,
I love it.
Susan, thank you so much for being here. We're going to have another program to be
yes.
able to minister, so I hope that you'll come back next week. And I know you're going to be back here, right?
I absolutely
you
am.
You better
tape
be.
Another
yes.
We planned it.
Too much fun.
Because it's going to be a powerful time, and I hope that you'll join us next week right here in Studio C, and we'll just expect God to touch your life right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.